Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Trav, I wonder who's following me now. The IRS?
Oh, no, it would probably not the IRS. It's probably those people in Sequoia.
They're definitely following me in a Sequoia?
I see astronauts.
Oh, call NASA.
Call NASA.
Because there's a whole bunch of rocket scientists in the area.
That's a good one.
But you do feel like, you know how I feel though, right, Trav?
Tell me how you feel, brother.
I always feel like somebody's...
Lay on the couch.
I always feel like somebody's watching me. We should probably have Trey sing this song at some point, too.
I always feel like somebody's watching me.
And talking dirty. Okay, we got enough of that. All right, so we've got one in the books, two to go. El Jefe wants to talk about the Spurs. I said to call the freaking San Antonio radio stations, and I'm sure that he can get on with them.
I was going to say, I thought you said call into the station. He's like, no, call them.
Call San Antonio. Okay. I'm sure there's River Rock 101 FM that wants to talk about anything you want to talk about. El Jefe on line one on River Rock 101, the FM rock and roll and Spurs station, ready to talk hoops with you. Pau Gasol out. You want to get in? Give us a call. All right. No one cares here. So we're sitting here talking about this game tonight. Early, Nick, you're going, and you go on a regular basis.
I am.
As long as you're allowed. What is your first impressions of what you expect to see tonight, Golden State and Rockets part D?
I either see Golden State coming off to a good start without the Rockets being able to come back, mm-hmm. or the Rockets starting off well, Golden State coming back, but hopefully the Rockets close out a close win. That's what I'm hoping for. But I can totally see the Rockets losing the lead, but I can see them struggling if they've fallen behind too quick.
I got the Rockets winning. I got Golden State winning. I think the Rockets go up early. I think with Golden State, they get hot, and they're going to stay hot, and they're going to lose. And, it's going to be like that guy in that one commercial, "You almost got it," with a little dollar on the end of the fishing pole. Mm-hmm. That's how they're going
to
feel.
I just think they need to get off to a good start. If they get off to a good start, even if they look like they're starting to lose the lead, it'll be okay. I just think they need to have some minimum momentum on their side starting the game off.
I got the Nets in a tight one. I think that Brooke Lopez is going to play well, and I think that everything's going to start coming up roses in Brooklyn. Hey, I'm staying clean, baby. Here's what I think.
Were we talking about the Rockets?
That's what I'm saying. But people over there would like me to not say anything. What I see happening is I see everything that I've talked about in terms of what they have to try and fix before the playoffs start becoming a glaring, glaring issue tonight unless they've worked on it and they've tried to – they're getting to the point where they can overcome it. Meaning this is a team that's going to exploit you if they – because they're so athletic and they get to the perimeter very quickly to contest shots. So if the three ball's not falling, this is a team that on the flip side, when their threes aren't falling, they attack the rim with some vivacious, some vigor, some energy, right? They attack the cup. The Rockets don't do that. I've said when their three is off, they struggle in games because they can't find another way to score. Golden State will exploit that because the first thing they're going to try and do is take away the perimeter shooting, send a lot of bodies at shooters on the wing, make you beat them a different way. Secondly, when the Rockets miss shots, their tendency is to be lazy getting back on defense. This is a team that's going to jam it down your throat.
A team that transitions very well.
Correct. So transition baskets are going to be a key, and if the Rockets haven't shored that up, they're going to get exploited. So that's another thing. And this is another team that between Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, and Jaja Pachulia are going to get points in the paint. You're going to have to try and defend. Clint Capella is going to have to play more minutes tonight, and you're going to have a team effort, especially coming over with weak side help, to try and shut down the paint. Otherwise, Golden State is going to exploit that as well. I see this as a potential blowout game going Golden State's way if those things aren't addressed.
Now, they can attack the rim. If they utilize the pick and roll, or if they utilize backdoor cuts to where they can attack the rim and get points in the paint against the Golden State Warriors, I think they can do that. We've seen them before where the three-point shot does not fall, and then they bounce back by attacking the rim. Maybe they haven't done it against all the best teams in the NBA, but we've seen them doing it before. So if they can utilize like attacking the paint early and utilizing the three-point perimeter shot as well, I think they can build some momentum their way. and hopefully they win this game because they obviously need it. You know, Golden State's coming, like you said, they're going to come back pissed off because of the first game.
And then not just that, you got to remember, this team, Golden State, is pretty good on defense. They're pretty solid on defense, in my opinion.
Oh, no question. They don't get enough credit for that. But like I'm saying, the reason why is because those four guys you're talking about, three of them are outstanding defenders. Klay Thompson's going to take the best guy on the other team. Klay Thompson's going to be up on James Harden most of the night.
No, no question.
Draymond Green can play the five, the four, and the three defensively, maybe even some twos. So he's going to be versatile for you. And then Kevin Durant's just so long, people don't give him enough credit for what he can contest because of his wingspan and because he's quicker than you give him credit for as well. He may not be big and strong and burly, but he covers some ground. He's got a wingspan, and he can get back. And then Pachulia, we saw it the other night with Westbrook. He's not afraid to get dirty. He wants to play physical. He wants to put a body on people. That's exactly what that's a recipe that the Rockets don't want to have cooking because of the fact that they don't have big bodies in return that can take the punishment, that can go beat on him and pound on him and grind on with him down on the block. And so rebounds are going to be at a premium too. Ryan Anderson coming back, especially he might be a little weak after having some flu or whatever he had. You don't want Jaja Pachulia hitting you when you're not looking or, you know, contesting a rebound with you and throwing an elbow and trying to get some position. He's going to knock some people around. Clint Capella, same thing. You got to be careful because he obviously doesn't give a damn how you feel as long as he gets what he needs to get out of the deal, which is a rebound, a pick, or whatever he needs to do to get his team rolling. So this is a team that means business tonight, and they don't take lightly to what happened in the first game. This is where the Rockets have to mature as a team. People say, well, that was just a game in the past. Forget about it. Tonight's a new night. That team coming in tonight is using that as a little extra venom for trying to send a statement and a message that you may have beaten us, but you're not there yet. I think that's what I see them trying to do. So we'll see what happens. It should be interesting. Like I said, hopefully not only a sellout, but I hope people are in their seats. And I hope that they stay there. So get there early, stay late, cheer loud. And now I should be on the payroll, and the XXX sweater vest and the Genius GM should probably start sending some love my way. So we'll see what happens.
Wear some Rockets gear?
No, I mean, I don't care whether they wear Rockets gear or not. I mean, and look, visiting teams normally have a pretty good representation in that building for big games.
Yeah.
Whether it's the Lakers when they had Kobe or LeBron or Steph Curry or whatever it is. But the bottom line is, if you're a Rockets fan, you should take that personally, too. You should get there early, should cheer loud, stay late.
I know my kids are coming in Golden State jerseys.
And please don't get into any altercations with Ducey or any of Travis's children.
Oh, no, they won't.
How do you know?
My kids slap people for fun.
Well, I think that's something that we should probably adopt as a rite of passage here at the station.
Yeah, no question.
We slap people for fun.
Yeah, man, my kids don't play that foolishness.
Just don't slap them verbally because then you're going to get called the principal's office. Mm-hmm. So we are rolling along. We've hit the Rockets, and they've hit back. So we'll see what happens tonight with them and the Golden State Warriors. I want Travis's opinion next on a guy who led his team in tackles last year, 24 years old, done, walking away from the game. We'll talk about that with Travis and a whole lot more. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Trapp, and Nick till 4. And a couple of fun things. One, follow me at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I just put up on my Twitter the retweet. The other night in the studio, they had a football and they were throwing it around. And they threw a pass to Charles. And he thought no one was in the area, and he was going to nonchalant it like he was on the sidelines. Shaq comes out of nowhere and picks him up and dumps him on his bucket. And it is phenomenal video. And I'm going to admit this, Nick and Travis, and I'm not proud of it per se, but, you know, Lisa goes to bed really early now because she has to do the mornings on 11. So I sit there, and a buddy of mine was like, I just said, oh, I'm going to watch games tonight. He's like, what games are you watching? And I was like, oh, man, I forgot. The big games were Wednesday night and tonight. So I'm looking around. I go, that's a great question. What game am I going to watch? And then the TNT had the doubleheader. So I end up watching the end of the first game, and I ended up watching a lot of the game, the Knicks and the Wizards, which I'm sure it's like watching paint dry to a lot of people. But it was the Knicks made a furious comeback, and it ends up being where the Knicks need a three late in the game. And I noticed it at the time, but I didn't say a whole lot about it. But I never thought that it would actually get to the point where they called him out on it. But Courtney Lee did. So the ball's kind of flying around the horn, penetration and kicking it out. They need a three.
Okay.
No one's pulling the trigger on the three. Melo goes in, kicks it out to Courtney Lee. In the corner, dead on, he's got about 5-6 feet between him and the defender. And I'm like, shoot it, shoot it, shoot it. And he passed it up. Well, out of the corner of my eye, I was looking going, was that assistant coach on the floor? And after the game, they go to Courtney Lee, and he said that assistant coach Sidney Lowe got one over on him because as the defense was closing in on him in front of him, he passed it away because he thought it was one of the Wizards players coming from the side to block the ball, but it was really the assistant coach coming off the bench with his hands in the air onto the floor trying to tell his team to defend and contest the shot. And so, therefore, Lee passed up the shot, kicked it out, and the Knicks never even got a shot off.
Wow.
That's nuts.
I compare it to when Jason Kidd had one of his players intentionally run into him and he could dump the coke on the floor because he didn't have any more timeouts. But I'm wondering if the league might not have something to say to Sidney Lowe. And you can see it on ESPN if you go back and look at the highlights of last night's game between the Knicks and the Wizards. But, I mean, basically Courtney Lee's quote was, so I don't shoot it. I drop the ball thinking it's going to be a double closeout. So I try to make a play to one of my teammates. He bobbles the ball, and it's the end of the game. Come to find out, it wasn't a defender for the Wizards. It was an assistant coach. That's not good. Now, I give Courtney Lee, who's a great dude, credit for admitting it. Might not be something you want to admit, but
eh. Actually kind of reminds me, like, in the Little League when I've seen players, like, the crowd would, like, chant 10, 9, 8.
Yeah.
Trying to trick the kids into thinking there's only 10 seconds left in the clock, and then he chunks up the ball, not realizing he had plenty of time. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, you got to do it. Did it seem intentional by the coach, or he just was really talking to his own players?
It looked a little bit more than a mistake. Let me put it that way. It looked like he had a little, you know, because a lot of times, like, you see that when guys shooting corner threes, the bench starts standing up, waving towels and yelling at him and screaming, like, right as close as they can get to him. But he was literally on the floor. And Melo said, I saw it live. He was on the court, he said, of Sidney Lowe. So essentially, they had six players on the court. I mean, I saw Courtney open, to be quite honest with you. I was talking to Courtney after the game, and he believed that, or he thought it was Kelly Oubre or someone else closing out on him, some member of the Wizards. He said the reason why he didn't feel comfortable taking the shot is because he saw the two defenders. Then once you see the video, he realized it was an assistant coach, that of Sidney Lowe.
Yeah, here's the audio after the game.
I'm hearing somebody right next to me saying, I'm here, I got your stunt. And so I don't shoot it. I dropped the ball thinking that it was going to be a double closeout. And then come to find out it was an assistant coach, not a player.
So you thought it.
He said he fooled me. I still should have taken the shot. I've never seen anything like it in my whole career. And, of course, now they're hoping the NBA gets involved. And they said the quote is, I think it's something they need to look at. Being a basketball player, you play off instincts. And if you hear somebody right there, that's why I try to make the right play. I still should have shot it, said Lee. It was crazy.
Yeah, it sounds like crazy.
So that's something that you guys...
Because you don't always get an opportunity to shoot the game-time ball.
Game-time shot.
And as of last year, one of the best, if not, and in years past, the best corner three shooter in the entire league, Courtney Lee. And it was a corner three. So chances are, better than most, he ties the game. Instead...
At least,
Nick's taking that L. So there's that. And then there's this trap, and this is the one that I teased I wanted to get to you for your perspective, because this is something like Chris Borland the other year, after playing his rookie season with the Niners a couple years ago due to concussions and the fear of concussions, he retired after a really good rookie year with the Niners. This one's a little bit more, shall I say, heart-wrenching as a player because of the fact that the guy is so good.
Yeah.
But Zach Orr, the Ravens linebacker who led Baltimore in tackles last year, is being forced to retire because of the fact that he has a rare spinal condition with his neck and his spine that physicians are saying should force him to retire early because a CAT scan revealed that the first cervical vertebrae at the top of his spine never fully formed. that puts him at an increased risk for fatality or paralysis.
Never fully formed. So since he's been a child.
Yeah.
But then they
So essentially, it's like you've been playing this long. Have you just been playing Russian roulette and winning?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think I'd stop.
Really?
No. I mean, the game give it and the game take it away. And you've been able to make, you've been able to play this long, never having an issue with it. I mean, no, there's no exact science of how God put our bodies together. You know what I'm saying? True. So it's him not having that might be, it's just how he operates.
Here's
you know?
What's worse. Undrafted free agent, rookie, leads the team in tackles. They discussed giving him up to $2.5 million in 2017 and a new contract after that for multi-million dollars. So it was a chance to really get taken care of and get paid and have some security financially. And before any of that can get inked and done, he's stepping away.
I just find it funny of how...
But not ha-ha funny.
No. How they just not finding this, and you didn't find this pre-draft stuff. His college didn't find this.
It's a good point.
His high school didn't find this. At no point did he have, like, so what made, what bought, what
so
they brought
it on by a CAT scan after the season, revealing the first cervical vertebrae of his spine had never fully formed.
He addressed the media. He said, basically saying he would play if he could.
The condition that I have, or that I was born with, you know, won't allow me to pass a physical, to play the game. And I was the first one to say that if it's some miracle way, some miracle treatment or anything like that, where you can play the game, where I can play the game again, I promise you I'll be the first one to grab my cleats again and start back training and try to find a way to get back out there.
So essentially, Trap, that's what you're saying. I mean, yeah. he, it seems like he wants to play. He just can't pass the physical, so he can play.
But it brings up, what happened? Did something happen?
So here it is. He suffered a neck stinger in week 16 late in the year at Pittsburgh, and it continued to cause him to experience pain in his neck. An MRI showed a herniated disc, which sidelined him for the final game of the regular season. At the end of the season, and his examination, based on that injury and his end-of-the-season exam, he learned the extent of his situation because of the CAT scan.
Wow.
Not good.
No, because not just that, is being that this is his third season, he also misses the three games needed to be vested, the three games needed for his 401k, the three games needed for his annuities, the three games he needed for everything for his retirement plan.
Oh, man, that's just heart-wrenching. That's one of those deals in sports that gives you the agony of defeat. That's too bad. So Zach Orr stepping away, not even at his own choice, as he even said, and Nick played the quote, if he could, he would, but he can't, so he won't. That's the way that deal goes down. So we've got plenty more show to go. We're at the midway point, or halftime, so to speak. So we'll reload, get some Gatorade, and talk to you more about sports coming back on the second half of the show. We're trying to get some commentary going on the big conference championship weekend in the NFL. And we've got some other things to get to now between now and 4 o'clock. Please join us, won't you? ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Well, I'm a little bummed because based on last week's results and how it all went down and the fact that my man pretty much called the game spot on, I was trying to get Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette back on. He said he is stuck in a whole bunch of work today and isn't going to be able to join us, so that's a little bit of a bummer. Yeah, maybe Nick will work on getting somebody on that might be able to talk conference championships with us. Baller shot caller.
Well, you know, I could do that.
Well, I'd like to see you guys contribute to the show in more ways than just your voice, so if you're able to do that, that would be much appreciated. Lord knows you're going to be on a sugar high here in about 15 minutes based on what you just consumed.
Oh, man, it's not much.
Okay. So we got a lot to get to. We've already covered a lot. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind?
I mean, I'm looking at these conference championships, and I was trying to save it, but I mean, we're at the halfway point. We haven't even talked about it yet. But, you know, I'm looking at these things. You know, we were talking about it before the show, and the fact that there's a lot of people, based on the overall city of Houston, revenue, fan base, travels well, all those different factors that are saying that the one kind of variable that is out there that people are still trying to figure out is, if Atlanta gets in, will their fans travel, and will they...
Will Atlanta travel to Houston?
Yeah.
Dang right. This place is going to be... I'm going to tell you right now.
Whoa.
I was geeked about, you know, a potential rematch between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Green Bay Packers. But I will say, I would rather have the Atlanta Falcons here playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers, because the streets would be phenomenal. It'd be some phenomenal streets going on in the city of Houston. When you talk about all the flavor, all the culture, and all of the stuff that come along with the Atlanta Falcons being in Houston, and the whole city of Atlanta making its way down to the great state of Texas, mm-hmm. To be honest, I had to change my pick based on what I want the streets to look like.
Now I don't like you.
Well, it's stuff happens.
Okay, that's fine. I like Trey better now.
Well, I like Trey better now too. So we're both agreement.
So yeah, take that. You know, based on the fact that everybody said when the Cowboys were out, Super Bowl tickets went down, that's probably a good thing for all the four teams still remaining, because there's still going to be plenty of fans that are going to want to snatch up those tickets. It's just a lot easier to spend money when you're coming from Dallas and you're not worried about plane, and you know, and you probably have friends here as well as the need for hotel rooms, and you can save a lot of your travel expenses to put a lot more money towards the tickets, as opposed to those that are coming from the far depths of the rest of the country trying to get into Houston, like Pittsburgh, like New England, like Green Bay. And Atlanta's closer, but they would still obviously have to do those things. So it'll be interesting to see. We already gave you the spreads, or the early spreads, yesterday. But in looking at everything that's going down with this game, and anything leading up to it, surprise you at all, Trap, that Jordy Nelson practiced yesterday?
No, not at all. I mean, it's a broken rib. This is the game to get into the Super Bowl.
Three broken ribs.
He'd be all right.
Or cracked ribs.
Cracked ribs. They're not broken.
Do you expect him to play?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Now, he also got the flu, so they're going to hold him out for precautionary reasons today, but that obviously won't take any kind
that flu sucks with broken ribs, because we all know part of having the flu is you're coughing and you're breathing, and when you got a broke rib, you know, that's the worst part about it, is the coughing. Like,
Julio Jones will not be limited by his toe in that game, so he is cleared. Steelers, however, not so lucky. Their tight end, Ladarius Green, in concussion protocol, but he's one of many for them in terms of Jesse James is one of their tight ends. So Ladarius Green not cleared completely yet, but he practiced today. So
he'll play.
I would assume he'll play too. So it doesn't look like there's going to be the key are going to be some of the other injuries. You know, James Harrison, he's expected to play through a tricep shoulder injury. Green Bay needs a lot of help in the secondary. There's no doubt about it. And Atlanta's going to bring a lot more to the table than maybe even Dallas did from a receiver perspective. Therefore, they need to be – they're never going to be full strength, but they need to get some guys back. So it'll be interesting to see who's cleared there. Morgan Burnett expects to play and is trying to do everything he can to get back on the field. Quentin Rollins also trying to get back. So interesting to see. Those are going to be key factors when you talk about matchups going into games like that, right?
Yeah, I mean – I don't think it's going to be close with New England and Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh's going to run the ball, get them up out of there. I don't care. I mean, who's out there? And to be honest, I think Atlanta's going to probably do the same thing. You know, we were to Green Bay. You know, we were talking to Salisbury before.
Yeah.
And what was the first thing he said? He said Aaron Rodgers could potentially play a great game, throw four touchdowns, and they still lose.
Yeah.
Because of the running game and because of everything else, all the other weapons that they have in Atlanta. Right now, Atlanta's
right
hot.
With them. Yeah, and I said that. Look, if you think that Zeke is good and he's a fantastic running back, but the two-headed monster in Atlanta can get you in so many different ways, because they catch balls out of the backfield. They, you know, if one guy's not doesn't have it going, you can go to the other guy. It's a thunder and lightning approach. They both catch the ball. And then, like I said, when you take Sanu on top of Julio Jones – and you put all of them in, you know, as weaponry in the same offense with Matt Ryan, The best thing I can say in terms of from a Green Bay perspective is the line isn't as good in Atlanta as it is in Dallas. Green Bay has got to get better penetration on the quarterback.
Yes.
And really kind of stop the run from that perspective as well if they hope that they're trying to win that game.
No question. I mean, they better. I mean, obviously, they're still banged up. We all know that Green Bay's been banged up. You know what I mean? As far as up front and, you know, with Clay, with all of those guys, they've been banged up. I'm looking forward to giving me another matchup people aren't talking about is the Matthews versus Matthews matchup. Right. You know what I mean?
Two Clay cousins. Got the best of them the first time, even though Atlanta won the game by one. But yeah, that's a family battle that is really interesting to watch.
Yeah, Bruce, I know Bruce is driving. He's actually driving to Atlanta. And I'm like, why are you not flying? Bruce just loves to drive. So he's driving to Atlanta, and I'm pretty sure that Big Clay will meet them out there as well. So it's going to be interesting to see all the Matthews guys, the whole clan out there, you know, hanging out and watching their boys play.
Yeah, that Matthews family, the bloodlines are deep, and they are all intertwined in the NFL. And it is a very, very impressive thing. So on the flip side, you expect any kind of – I mean, you expect Antonio Brown to just come in there and kick tail?
Yes.
Yeah.
No question.
And he has – you think he has to, or he's just –
Dang, Joe, you even snitched on my wife over talking about you eating sweets?
Oh, boy. Now I'm going to get the blame for that.
Snitch.
Well, I get it. Snitches get stitches.
Snitches get stitches and tossed in ditches.
Oh, well. I guess I expect to get dirty and sewn up.
Yep.
Or either that or the wife will protect me because she knows that I got her back looking out for you, trying to keep you on the straight and narrow on this healthy living thing.
Yeah.
How's that going for you?
Hey, man. It went out the window today with these sweets.
You brought in the chicken, though.
I was going to say, Trap.
That's your fault because I wouldn't eat – if you didn't have no food – then I wouldn't have had no problem with eating anything else.
So you're an enabler, but you're gonna place all the blame on me.
Yes, I will.
Uh-huh. I see. Well, there's a couch right over here for a reason. So if you want to lay down and have another session so we can try and get your mind right so that you can focus, we'll be working on that. With that being said, and Nick will have your picks later in the game, anything that you think is going to be a surprise, anything that you see coming that maybe – the general public out there isn't expecting in either one of these games?
Not really. I mean, I would bet my money on Atlanta and Pittsburgh. I don't see right now. I understand you want to be a Green Bay guy.
I'm not wannabe. I am. But, you know,
take your heart out of it right now.
No, I'm worried. You know, and I was concerned about the Cowboys, but I'm worried because of the fact that, like you said, if there's any team that can at least go from a hot perspective at the right time, like Aaron Rodgers, it's the entire Atlanta offense. I mean, they're playing great football. They're moving the ball around. They can run it. They can throw it. They have weapons. Defensively, they're a little nicked up, but it's not that serious. So when you look at some of the other teams and some of the losses that they've had from an injury perspective and otherwise, I just think Atlanta is ripe for being the hot team at home. That could be a huge factor.
Very huge factor. I mean, when you think about how nice the as far as the Georgia Dome is, not only being at home but being that it's the last game that possibly could ever – that last game – this is going to be the last game ever played in the Georgia Dome
regardless.
So I think it's going to be an advantage that I don't think Green Bay can get over.
All right, I'm done with you. By the way, there is a petition going around for all that you're interested in a renaming of AT&T Stadium in Dallas. It's now officially going to be known as Lambeau Field South.
Tuck.
After the Super Bowl victory and the win last weekend, the petition is gaining steam with hundreds of thousands of people being thought to have at least contemplated signing the petition. With that, Nick, we'll also get to – you've got a little bit of a – commentary from Tom Brady leading up to this game this weekend. You want to roll that?
We'll play our best game of the year. I think that's what it comes down to. I mean, we got to all do whatever it takes to be at our best for those 3 hours on Sunday night. And they put a lot of pressure on you in a lot of areas, tough to prepare for. So going to have to, just rise to the occasion. I know we got our work cut out for us facing that defense. I know our defense has its work cut out for them facing that offense. And it's going to be a great game.
So there you have it. There's the other thing. Just like I said with the Texans the week before, you got to get to Tom Brady, and the only way to get to Tom Brady is you need to hit him, hit them low.
And they got the pass rushers. They got the pass rushers with Bud Dupree, Jarvis Jones,
Harrison,
James Harrison. Who's he's old. He's a little long in the tooth, but he's still making a lot of plays.
Right.
They got the guys to
look.
Do
the
it.
Holding call happened on a pass rush from James Harrison, so you know he's still capable.
No question.
And again, like I said, hit him late if you have to, but hit him hard, hit him low, get him to where he starts bitching to the officials and takes his head out of the game a little bit, and you can get him off his game. So Pittsburgh's a team that'll do that because they don't care. They are just coming at you.
They're going to set the tone. That's
and even their
Pittsburgh.
Back, even the back of the their secondary is going to do the same thing. They're hard hitters,
yeah,
and they'll worry about the results later.
Led by big play Willie Gay from Tallahassee, Florida.
Well, and there you have that, too, that sidebar note that you get nowhere else. So we got Trap, Nick, and Joel till 4 o'clock, and we'd love to have you participate in the show. Give us a call, 713-780-ESPN, and we'll get you through as soon as possible. Or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Travis Johnson, Nick Shirara from here till 4 o'clock. We've been kicking it around on an FEF Friday, trying to talk about what might be important to you and also what's pertinent in the world of sports as we have the conference championship games coming up this weekend to determine who the two contestants will be that will be playing for the World Championship of Professional Football in Houston, Texas in what, 2.5 weeks?
2.5 weeks, sound about right. About February 5th, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have that to look forward to, which is fantastic, amazing, and all those things. And the Rockets at home tonight against the Golden State Warriors. Russell Westbrook is now out with his comments being snubbed from the starting lineup of the All-Star game. And again, kind of typically of anybody that's in that position, it's a no-win proposition. There's nothing you can say that's going to make people, you know, feel better or make yourself feel better about what happened. He just said it is what it is. That's the nature of the business of the game. I just play. I don't play for all-star bids. I play to win championships. Every night I compete at a high level, it'll work out. I just continue doing what I'm doing, play the game the right way, everything will work out. That is the right quote to make. But you know, deep down, he's saying it's BS like everybody else is. This dude, along with James Harden, are the two best players in the league right now.
Oh, no question. No question.
And it's a shame that he's not starting, though I'm sure he'll get plenty of minutes. Definitely a travesty that they couldn't get that right. I mean, they took the center position out of it so that they could get it right to some degree to make sure that more athletic players,
so it wouldn't be a boring game. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's a shame because that's just something that I think is really, for the league itself, it's a shame that a guy like that isn't starting because he's so alive. You heard what Coach McHale was talking about him the other day. That's a guy that he likes to watch on a regular basis because of the way he plays the game.
Exactly.
He just plays it with reckless abandon and athleticism, and he's on the go at all times. And it's fun to watch.
No question.
So it's a shame that he's not going to be partaking.
Did you not switch subjects, but we're still on football.
Yeah.
You see Johnny Manziel's message today?
Well, I know that for one, now he's not going to be charging $50 for selfies.
Is that what he charges for selfies?
Well, so we had it the one day last week that during the Super Bowl week, he's going to be making... Actually, I don't know if you heard this or not. Barry was doing the show, and we had the information that he was going to charge $50 per selfie. He was going to charge, what was it, Nick? $99 to $129 per autograph, I think it was.
Yep, and then it was like what? $39 for an engraving.
And then an extra $40 to put four words with the autograph. And then we were trying to think about it, saying, well, then if we get to check the four words, then what I suggested was I wanted the four words to be, yeah, I hit her. Signed, Johnny Manziel.
Oh, that's funny.
And so we were thinking about it, and Barry was trying to get people to sponsor it because he would actually stand in line, and whatever we came up with, he would actually put something in front of Johnny, which some people said instead of a ball or a helmet should be a mugshot, and then sign it, yeah, I hit her, Johnny Manziel, and see how he reacted. And then the sponsor would be responsible for paying whatever the autograph cost and the extra words and then whatever medical bills Barry would incur for getting his ass beat.
Oh, my neck, my back. But he sent out a message today saying that he has achieved sobriety, without professional assistance and needs to maintain and wants to play. And, you know, I just,
you put him, if you're an owner of a football team, you put him on your roster?
I wouldn't have put him on my roster out of college.
You wanted to?
No,
you wouldn't have. Okay.
No, I didn't think he was that good in college.
But I'm saying the key to me right there in that tweet you just read, he achieved it without professional.
It's really not that hard if you decided it's not good for me.
But if you truly have a problem,
I don't think he truly had a problem. Ooh. I just think he's a smooth running idiot. That's all it is.
See, I think maybe he started out that way, but I think it's gotten to the point where he actually has a demon that might not be curable by himself.
No, I think I think he just couldn't stay. His thing was he was addicted. You know what he's addicted to? He's addicted to the attention.
The limelight?
He was addicted to the limelight, and that's all it is. And that, and to me, that I don't ever think he had a actual drinking problem. I think his problem was that he enjoyed all the stuff, and the stuff he was doing was always on tape. The stuff he was scrutinized was always on tape. So it made it look 1,000 times worse than it really was. I think finally he was like, you know what? I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to sit on the side. Because not only that, but my drinking and my partying has caused me not to have any job. Not to have a job, and nobody wants to be around me. Not to have my three years, three games to be vested. I have I have nothing. You know what I mean? So I think that in itself, that's sobering in itself. So I don't believe he had a problem. I believe his problem was he was a smooth running idiot, period.
See, and I think it goes a little bit farther than that because of how many times he's dabbled. And look, there's many demons. It's not whether it be drugs or alcohol. You've got that whole thing. And then you've got the domestic abuse element that has popped up more than one time. And I think that those are things that maybe to your point, if it was just one of those things, that you could say someone could write their own ship and they could fix some things. But I think based on the multitude of things the incidents that have happened and all the different things that have run the gamut in terms of the cause and the effect and everything, that whether it's drugs and alcohol and violence and all these other things, whether it be against females or males and in a bar and out of a bar, I think he needs professional help. And I think that any team that I understand he wants to play, I think before any team allows him into their locker room, there just needs to be a full evaluation, and professionals
They're going
to
have a full evaluation, of course. But I don't think domestic violence, all the other stuff. I mean, I'm not going to say anything because I don't know what happened in that car or whatever happened with him and whatever
and I'm just
girl
saying,
is.
But to my point, if that just happened once, fine. Yeah, but it happened multiple times.
If you're dealing with the same crazy person, I mean, domestic violence works both ways.
No question.
You know what I mean? So if you're dealing with the same crazy person, and 9 times out of 10, when the police get there, guess what? Somebody got to go to jail. Who's going to jail? The man's going to jail. 9 times out of 10, it was pretty much somebody hit you across the face. And as men, you probably should just take it. As a man, you just take it and just walk away. Yeah. I'm going to walk away. But some people can't do that.
Well, let's see. We got some calls coming in on football. And they're lining up, so let's start with Randall. Randall, you want to get in here? You want to talk about the pride, the glory? What's up?
Go.
Yeah, just to start off with, you guys are awesome. You guys did say to go ahead and give Mr. Trey a hard time. I think annihilation was on my agenda for him, and I think we accomplished that.
Why did you want to annihilate Trey?
You mean Trey, or you mean George Karl?
Say it again.
I said, you mean Trey or George Karl?
Did you
Trey? No, Trey. Trey.
Oh, you wanted to give Trey a challenge, right, Randall?
Yeah.
Trey wanted someone to talk crap to him so that he could talk back. Is that what you're saying?
Oh yeah, no. I gave him the business as soon as we called in. You know, I know that he's been having issues with, with the spelling of the names and this and that.
There you go.
So I gave him a little bit of a hard time. Oh, my God, that girl fell down. Oh, Lord. Some lady just fell down crossing the street in the Galleria. That was priceless.
Did you go help her?
Another gentleman did. I'm actually driving, but I would have jumped out if I had the chance, but I'm not.
We appreciate the play-by-play on the run. Multitasking is a specialty. So what's on your mind, Randall?
Well, you know, them Green Bay Packers, man, they're on fire. They really are. I see them, you know, putting up pretty good fight with Atlanta. I'm not sure if they pull it out. I'm kind of on the Falcons side by about a good 5%, but yeah, I think they're going to make it a pretty close game, but it's probably going to come down to whoever has the ball last. I just wanted to hear what you guys had to say about all that.
Appreciate the call, Randall. And you know what? For all of that it took to get to that point, I would tend to agree with his final statement. I think this could be one of those games where whoever has the ball last is the team that ends up winning it. And you guys already know where my allegiance is and where I'm from, but I am extremely concerned about this game, and I'm not going to tell you that I think that the Packers are going to win this game. I'm gonna obviously stick with my heart, but at the same time, Atlanta is a team that has all the weapons, and with a guy like Kyle Shanahan, especially when they get inside the 40s, that's where he likes to really draw up the big play. That's where they can really rip your heart out. And Matt Ryan's playing at a very, very high level right now. So, you know, I think it. I would hope it's a close game. If you can get something close to what was the Cowboys-Packer game of a week ago, I think football fans will be extremely ecstatic. But look, Atlanta's got a great team. They are where they are for a reason. And I think at home it gives them an advantage too, especially in that building being so loud. So, you know, I kind of tend to agree with you and Trap what you said, what Sean said, which was Rodgers can throw for 4 touchdowns and 400 yards and still lose that game based on how good Atlanta is.
No question.
All right, so we got plenty more to get to. Ernest, we already know you want to talk about the Dirty Birds again. Quentin, you want to get in here on Johnny Manziel. Johnny, you want to get in here on domestic violence. We've got a gamut to run through. We've got a full board of calls, and we've got 1 hour to go. We are ESPN 97.5. Dominican bar, great head on her
shoulders. She probably studied abroad. ESPN 97.5.